Good evening and welcome to the May 11th City of Bellevue's Planning Commission meeting. This evening's meeting will be held remotely via Zoom. A couple of housekeeping items to go over for the purpose of this meeting. We'll provide an opportunity for public comment during oral communication portion of the agenda. All written comments that have been submitted prior to 5:30 p.m. today will be summarized into the record. Following presentation by staff and to facilitate discussion with the commission, I will call upon each commissioner in attendance this evening individually to allow for questions and provide input. Please wait for your name. Let's do a roll call. Vice Chair Ferris.
I'm here.
Commissioner Baragawa will join late. Commissioner Brown.
Here.
Commissioner Gopal.
Here.
Commissioner Morisseau.
Here, Chair.
And Commissioner Mogafkar is not here. And Council Member Jennifer Robertson, she's not joining tonight. Great. Can I get a motion to approve today's agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Who seconded the motion? Perfect. It is moved by Commissioner Gopal and seconded by Commissioner Brown to approve today's meeting agenda. Is there any discussion? All approved say yes.
Yes.
All opposed say no. Any abstain? The ayes have it and the motion carries. So Council Member Robertson is not here. Tara, did you have any other person, boards, commission, council member wants to talk to us?
We do not.
Perfect. So Tara, we are all listening to you. The staff report, please.
Certainly. I just want to note Commissioner Barkova just joined us. Included, good evening, Chair Malkuti and Vice Chair Ferris, Planning Commissioners, and members of the public that are here this evening. Included in your packet is, of course, our schedule for the next few months. So just want to highlight a few things. This evening, we're going to be providing the Commission with an introduction on Wilburton, the Wilburton Vision implementation. It is quite likely that we will end up canceling the May 25th meeting because we don't have any proposed topics. And behind the scenes, we're of course doing a lot of work on the comprehensive plan update. So we'll be doing providing the commission with a briefing on some of the community engagement feedback that we've received. We had an open house, as you know, last week. And so we'll be providing the commission with an update since we last came to you a couple months ago. We also have the election for the new chair and vice chair for the next year. Following that, we'll be bringing back curbside management, the comprehensive plan amendment. City Council initiated the C1 phase 2 work on Monday night. So that will be brought forward to the commission for an introduction at the end of June. Following that, we anticipate in July, we'll be doing an overview of kind of the EIS process and what that looks like, because that will be a integral part of both the Wilburton project as well as the comprehensive plan update. Following that, later on in July, we'll be bringing back the C1 CPA phase 2 work. We potentially will have an update on the work we've completed under the housing needs assessment, which will be ongoing in the next couple months. And then in the fall, we are anticipating we'll be doing public hearings on the 2022 CPAs in September. So that's the proposed schedule for the next few months, and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much. Tara, is there any question for Tara please raise your hand in the physical shape or via the Zoom hand function. Like basically the summary is, Tara, whatever hard work was has happened when I was a chair, and now the easiest stuff is happening in future. That's what the basically the gesture of what this is. Commissioner Gopal.
Yeah, I just had a question about when will we know the status on the May 25th meeting?
We should know in the next week. We'll make that final determination, and we'll of course inform you as soon as we know.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Commissioner Barigalo.
Yeah, one other thing to note, given the summer, at least I know on my end, there is some upcoming travel, which will be 2-3 week stints, one from mid-June through the first week of July, and then I know August is off, but the first week of September. So is there a calendar of some kind that we can mark so that there is general awareness of any of these across the commission, Tara?
I generally keep track of that. So if you want to send me your proposed dates and, you know, included in your packet are the planning commission dates. So if there's a conflict, just let me know which date you have a conflict with, and then we'll just make a note of it and hopefully avoid not having a quorum. And that goes for all the commission members. If you could do that, just look ahead to the summer months. I know some of you may be traveling.
Will do. Thanks.
Any other question, concern? Okay, Tara, is there anything else that you want to share, or should we move to the oral communication part of the meeting?
There's one additional piece to note. In the event that we are not going to have the May 25th meeting, that would have been Commissioner Mulgavkar's last meeting. So we'll wanna do our typical appreciation of her accomplishments on the commission, potentially at your June meeting. Invite her back, even though her tenure is up. And we do have on our schedule both Emil and myself, as well as Council Member Robertson, and I believe the chair are going to be doing interviews for a new planning commissioner. So we have lots of interest. I believe we've got 12 applications for the one position. So that's great to see.
Great. Okay. If there is no more questions from Tara, we can move to oral communication part of our agenda. I don't see any hand. Okay. So the total time for oral communication is 30 minutes, 3-0. A speaker will be allowed up to 3 minutes to speak. Tara will call on speakers in the order in which they have registered on the web form registration site. If you miss that, miss a deadline, you may still provide public comment. Please just use the raise hand function in Zoom to indicate that you would like to talk. Tara, did you have anyone who registered via the system?
Yes, we had one speaker registered, and I believe I see him here, so I'm going to enable him to speak. Joshua, and if you could give me, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Hi there, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. If you could give me one moment, I'm just going to pull up the timer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, your time begins now.
Great. Thank you for the opportunity to comment this evening. My name is Josh Friedman, and I'm a land use attorney at the Hillis Clark firm, which is located at 999 3rd Avenue in Seattle. We are members of NIOP, which is the Commercial Real Estate Development Association, as well as the Bellevue Chambers Committee on Planning, Land Use, Sustainability, and Housing. And tonight I'm going to be making comments on behalf of those groups about the Wilburton implementation vision. We strongly support the Council's direction to use the Wilburton Draft EIS preferred alternative as the baseline for thinking about the density changes that are needed in the neighborhood. Bellevue is underproducing housing. More density must be added in Wilburton and the city's other urban areas to meet the housing needs of the city now and in the coming decades, and to balance job growth to meet the city's 2044 targets. We ask that you consider bold action and provide direction on alternatives that consider significantly greater density for residential and non-residential development than was contemplated in the draft EIS alternative. We also remain concerned with the timeline for implementing Wilburton zoning changes. If zoning changes are not adopted until 2024, associated projects would not be completed until 2028 and even beyond. Bellevue's housing supply will only be more challenged by then. Therefore, we're supporting accelerating the timeline for Wilburton zoning changes as much as possible, including advancing the development of land use code amendments simultaneously with the development of the final EIS. Thank you for your hard work and diligence on behalf of the citizens of Bellevue. And those are my comments.
Thank you, Joshua. Is there anyone from audience that missed the registration form wants to talk to us? Raise your hand via the hand Zoom function. Tara, I don't see anyone, and I think that's the only one you had on the registration form.
That's correct.
So let's just give them one more chance. Is there anyone who wants to talk? Please let us know by using the hand function in Zoom. Okay. Tara, written communication.
Thank you, Chair. Included in your packet was one email that was received relative to the topic that was on the Commission's last agenda at your last meeting relating to permanent supportive housing and the emergency housing LUCA that the Planning Commission made a recommendation on. And so that was included for Planning Commission's review. We also received an additional email that came through. It was addressed to the Planning Commission and Council, but really related to a specific project that's going through land use review within the Development Services Department. So I've not forwarded that on since did not really relate to anything that comes under the Commission's purview. And we have not received anything additional.
Thank you so much. So are we ready for the study session, Tara?
Yes, perfect. I believe so.
Perfect. I see Emil here, so I'm excited. Emil, Janet, and Nick, the Green Team, will provide a presentation, an introductory briefing on the Wilburton Vision Implementation Plan. So we are all here. Thank you so much.
I am trying to share my screen and I'm having a hard time pulling up the presentation. Give me one moment. I have it up, but it's not showing up. Sorry about that.
Just let us know if you'd like one of us to try. I could probably pull it up, Tara.
I don't know why it's not letting me. It's not showing up. Showing me all the windows except for that. I may have to make one. Oh, there we go.
Thanks, Tara. Good evening, Chair, Vice Chair, and members of the Commission. Staff from Community Development and Development Services are very excited to be here tonight to provide an informational briefing to the Commission on the Wolverton Vision implementation. As Councilmember Robertson mentioned to you, this effort was launched by Council on April 25th and includes both a comprehensive plan amendment and a land use code amendment. With me tonight, we have Nick Whipple from the Development Services Department and Janet Scholl, who is the new Strategic Planning Manager in Community Development and will be presenting to Council for, or to the Commission for the first time tonight. You can go to the next slide, please. Tonight, as part of the orientation to Wolverton, a number of commissioners were not on board when the vision was developed in 2017-2018 by a council-appointed advisory committee. It's also noteworthy that former planning commissioner and current council member Barksdale was a co-chair of the Wolverton Advisory Committee, along with Lei Wu from the Transportation Commission at the time. The presentation tonight is going to cover a review of the importance of this work and how it fits with other citywide planning efforts. We'll also cover some of the background of previous Wolverton work and the planning context for the area. There's also a range of objectives, opportunities, and priorities that we'll touch upon tonight. We'll then move on to the overall scope and timeline so the Commission can understand the flow of the work. We'll then cover the individual facets and overall approach to community engagement, and finally, the next steps for both the Commission and the public. Next slide, please. I wanted to spend a little bit of time on the importance of the Wolverton effort. This is a significant body of work that's going to be occurring with the Planning Commission as well as other boards and commissions. It's also a big opportunity to really plan a new urban neighborhood in Wolverton in a similar nature that we looked at Belrad back in 2007 to 2009. We replanned the East Main area and made adjustments to downtown through the downtown livability work. Wolverton is situated in a place where it's going to be walkable to four different light rail stations and also served by what we view is going to be the premier bicycle and pedestrian facility on the east side and east rail, and also part of the eastern terminus of the Grand Connection. There have been tremendous changes that are occurring in the city and have occurred just since 2018. So we're going to be using this effort to think of Wolverton in context of the larger planning that we're doing for the periodic plan update. Wolverton does provide a big opportunity to help balance our job and housing growth with more housing capacity and also creating more housing choice. You're going to hear tonight about some of the synergies gained by thinking about how Wolverton grows in context of the overall comprehensive plan update. So please take notes and ask any questions about that relationship during the ending part of our presentation. Wolverton is also going to build upon some of the emerging needs and planning issues, such as the mobility implementation plan and how that works in a new urban neighborhood, how we're going to plan trail-oriented development along East Rail, accommodate our housing targets. We need Wolverton to play a huge role in that, and our Grand Connection planning. The schedule being put forward focuses on delivering the policy and code for the whole Wolverton area in a timely manner, and you're going to hear a focus on predictability and coordination amongst our planning efforts. The process for Wolverton has restarted the engagement already just in the past 2 weeks, and you'll be hearing about engagement with stakeholders in the community that's going to deliver these policies in advance of the overall comp plan update and does seek to adopt the new code in a little over 2 years from now. So with that, I want to hand over the presentation to staff to continue on, and we will have time at the end of the presentation to answer any questions or take any comments from the Commission. Thank you.
Right. Thanks, Emil. And next slide, Tamara, thanks. Good evening, Chair Malakushian, Vice Chair Ferris, and Planning Commissioners. I'm excited to be here tonight to talk with you about Wolverton. The Wolverton area, it's really the last planning area within the transit growth corridor and a key piece to the overall growth corridor. The planning area is approximately 300 acres in size, and it presents a lot of unique opportunities to establish an urban mixed-use community that addresses the growing need for a variety of housing types, including affordable housing, and improve access to East Rail and Light Rail. So this area is really expected to transform into a neighborhood that serves the needs of our diverse and growing population. On the right-hand side, you'll see an image there. That is the Wolverton CAC vision, or the recommended vision, which is going to be the starting place for our work. The CAC vision did involve significant stakeholder engagement between the years 2017 to 2018. And a lot of that work identified some of the key land use, housing, transportation, open space, and urban design principles. So we feel there's a lot of good work that we're able to carry forward with the re-engagement of this effort. And we also want to take advantage of some of the more recent work. Wolverton East Rail Framework Plan, as an example, included a pretty broad outreach effort and a lot of great ideas that came from that effort that kind of talk about the preferences for Wolverton's future. So we'll be able to build on some of those ideas through this planning effort. And we've also seen a tremendous amount of growth since the vision was established by the CAC, and there's more changes ahead with the projected job growth and housing growth that's planned in the city. So we're really excited about the many opportunities that Wolverton presents. Next slide, please. So just to provide some context, Wolverton, like I said, it's an important piece within the larger planning context. So this graphic helps to show just how the Wolverton planning effort fits within the broader context of planning that has happened over the past several years. So with the introduction of East Link Light Rail into the landscape, and then the prolonged construction boom that we've been experiencing, it's just a reminder of how desirable Bellevue is as a place to live and work. A lot of planning over the past several years has really helped guide this growth and leverage the investment of East Link Light Rail. In 2015, we saw the adoption of the guiding principles for Wolverton. And then just shortly after, in 2016, the East Main CAC transmitted their recommendations for how the East Main Station area should transform with the arrival of light rail. And then in 2017, for the first time since 1980, the city undertook substantive changes to the downtown code to look for ways to continue to enhance the livability of downtown, which included elements that contribute to the public realm, and other changes to respond to the new people and businesses that are choosing to move to downtown Bellevue. And then in 2021, the East Main Land Use Code was adopted, which enabled a range of development options to occur and added significant development capacity, and then added some additional capacity for housing with a priority for affordable housing to be delivered through incentives. Then earlier this year, there was the ratification of the Countywide Planning Policies, or CPPs, including the updates to our jobs and housing growth targets, which now includes adding 70,000 new jobs and 35,000 new residential units. This growth target does represent a 2-to-1 jobs to housing unit ratio for the 2019-2044 planning horizon. And those growth targets will be memorialized through the periodic, or the comprehensive plan periodic update. And then the mobility implementation plan was adopted earlier this year by City Council. That was to embed multimodal concurrency policies into the transportation element of the comprehensive plan. And then Wolverton will be able to incorporate some of those elements, as well as the East Rail Framework Plan, which is expected to be adopted in the coming weeks. And then there's the target adoption for the Wolverton Comprehensive Plan Amendments, or CPAs, in late 2023, ahead of the periodic update. And then the LUCA, as you'll see later in the presentation, there is some overlap between the Land Use Code Amendment and the Comprehensive Plan Amendments that will allow for the LUCA for Wilburton to be adopted shortly after the periodic update. So next slide, please. So with the order here, there are three components basically to the Wilburton planning effort. It's a CPA, the Comprehensive Plan Amendment, the LUCA, and then the legislative rezone. So the Comprehensive Plan Amendment is going to include the goals and policies to support the vision for Wilburton, and it will really describe a baseline expectation for future development. And then the LUCA will establish development standards and design guidelines to implement the Comprehensive Plan Amendment. And the LUCA is going to describe exactly what land uses are permitted. It'll set standards for development, such as building height, density, and really decide what are the public benefits that are expected in exchange for the increased development capacity that's afforded to the parcels within the Wilburton planning area. And then we will follow this all with the legislative rezone that would create the land use districts for Wilburton that will really take advantage of the CPA and the LUCA. Next slide, please. So in talking about opportunities, in working through the periodic update to the comprehensive plan and Wilburton at the same time, we feel that that presents really great opportunities in terms of staff and resource efficiencies. We're able to better coordinate Wilburton and citywide future land use alternatives analysis to help coordinate some of the environmental work and really think about how Wilburton plays a role in the vision for the city and the big picture kind of plans for the city. It'll also allow improved understanding and communication with the broader community so they can see, again, how Wilburton fits into the larger discussion about the comprehensive plan update. And then we can incorporate plans that are going to be adopted shortly. The Wilburton East Rail Framework Plan can be, ideas from that can be incorporated in the CPA as well as the LUCA. And for increasing housing capacity, Wilburton, it does present a big opportunity to add to the city's housing and affordable housing stock and work, as Emil mentioned, to better balance the job housing growth that we're experiencing in the city. And it also would add for or add a sustainable and equitable neighborhood within the city. Next slide, please. So there's a number of key priorities for this planning effort that will be advanced. So to begin, the project, of course, will have its role in allowing the city to comply with the Growth Management Act by ensuring that we are planning for additional housing and making sure that there are housing choices that touch on the full housing spectrum. Wilburton is poised to be a diverse and connected neighborhood with many choices for moving within and to and from Wilburton. There'll be leveraging of East Rail as well as East Link. Additional priorities include the Northeast 6th Street extension, and then the Grand Connection, which will of course connect the neighborhood to downtown as well as to East Rail. And then Wilburton will also consider its place within Bellevue as a city in a park with open space and inclusive community spaces. This project will also prioritize sustainability and equity through enhanced natural systems, sustainable transportation, great economic opportunity, including small business spaces or mom and pop shops that are welcoming and inclusive. Next slide, please. So as mentioned earlier, we'll be conducting the CEPA review or the State Environmental Policy Act procedural requirements for the comprehensive plan periodic update. And as a part of that, Wilburton will be included with that CEPA review. It will be an environmental impact statement or EIS to assess the probable adverse environmental impacts from proposed changes to land use and housing, transportation and traffic, aesthetics, public services, infrastructure and utilities, and then the environment, air, water, and geology. So there's been a lot of changes since the Wolverton draft EIS was done in 2018. As Emil mentioned, we've seen significant office development within the growth corridor, particularly in the downtown. We also have new housing targets that were recently ratified. And the new housing targets exceed the supply or the available capacity, zoned capacity that we have for housing in the city. We'll also need to look at the growth forecasts for 2044, not the 2035 forecast that was used in the 2018 Wolverton draft EIS. And then we've seen a lot of changes in the transportation sector. So there's a need for a supplemental transportation analysis, and we want to be able to take advantage of the transportation changes that have happened with the multi-mobility implementation plan adoption, as well as the East Rail Framework Plan that's going to be adopted again in the coming weeks. So for these reasons, there's a lot of benefits that we see to having a combined EIS process with the comprehensive plan periodic updates. And to walk us through the rest of the presentation, I will turn it over to Janet Scholl.
Great. Thank you, Nick. And good evening, Chair Malakushin and Vice Chair Ferris. It's a pleasure to be here this evening, members of the Planning Commission. It's an honor to be able to address you this evening and to be project manager for this project. It's a very exciting project that we're launching. It's a very important project, and I will say that it was one of the reasons I was very interested when I learned of the position opening here at the City of Bellevue to join the team. It's great working with Nick, Emil, and the rest of the team, and we're really excited to get forward with this work. So to get into the meat of it a little bit, I wanted to share with you the overall scope and timeline for the Wolverton planning effort. Emil and Nick have both spoke of this. And this graphic here is really intended to show not only the timeline and scope of work for Wolverton, but provide some context for that work to help explain how this is so important to coordinate the Wolverton effort with the periodic comprehensive plan update. And so that's why at first glance may look a little complicated, but we'll walk through it together and hopefully it'll start to gel, and it'll probably perhaps lead to some discussion later on this evening, and we're happy to answer any questions you might have. So first of all, just to show the overall time frame for the work, we're showing when we launched this work with the council here in April of this year. And then as you move across the top of the timeline to the right, you see the major milestones of the comprehensive plan amendments for Wolverton being adopted in Q4 of 2023, and then following that with the LUCA being adopted in Q2 of 2024. So those are our major milestones. Those are the events that many people are very interested in knowing when those things are going to occur. And then if you go down to the first line where we say we've labeled it as context, and running across the top of the timeline, we're showing the major milestones that relate to the periodic comprehensive plan update, along with a couple other milestone events that inform the Wolverton work. And those include the, first of all, the comprehensive plan launch, which you know occurred in February. And then after that, we are looking at the East Rail Framework Plan being completed in Q2 of this year. So that work is wrapping up, and we hope to have a final framework plan to share with you all in the months ahead or the weeks ahead, just wrapping up that work with King County. And then later on this year, not only will the mobility implementation plan be adopted, but the actual concurrency ordinance and other work, including the TFP analysis, is going to be concluding this year as well. So we've noted that along the timeline. And then as you move across the timeline, you'll see the three major milestones with the environmental impact statement work. And that will be, as has been mentioned by Nick and Emil, that will be including the Wolverton work. So the timeline you see directly below in the blue is the Wolverton timeline that we'll talk about as well. But just wanting to highlight how those major milestones with the EIF are one with the Wilburton effort. And so we will be getting into the scoping for the EIS in Q3 of 2022, so later this year. That will be followed by issuance of the draft environmental impact statement in Q1 of 2023. And again, Wilburton's included there as well. And then the final EIS being issued in Q2 of 2023. And those things have to be done before we can do the comprehensive plan amendments for Wilburton. So all that work, as you know, as planning commissioners, needs to be completed. The analysis of associated environmental impacts with the policy recommendations and the comprehensive land or the land use map amendments that are being proposed, you have to have that information before we can proceed with those public sessions and ultimately the hearings that result in your recommendations to council. So that's why you see a little bit, you see a couple quarters there after the issuance of the FEIS. That is so that we can have the appropriate public process with you and then ultimately with the city council who will make the who will approve the comprehensive plan amendments. And those are going to be happening before we finish the work with the overall periodic comprehensive plan update. So we just want to make sure we're highlighting that, making sure that's clear that those will be adopted in Q4 of 2023. And then following that in Q2 of 2024 is our goal for the comprehensive plan periodic update to be completed. And then you'll see just following that, if you're following along the blue timeline, which is the Wilburton project timeline, that just following the periodic comprehensive plan update amendments being completed, we will be in a position to bring to council for final action the land use code amendments. So what does that mean for the Wilburton planning effort? It means that we are intentionally overlaying three phases of our work, and that's what's represented in the color shading that you see here in the timeline. The green area being our phase one, what we're calling the re-engagement phase, which is what the process and the phase of the work that we're in now. We've launched the project. We're briefing you this evening. We'll be briefing other boards and commissions here in the next few months. And then we've already been out in community doing some stakeholder engagement, responding to requests to present. Recently, we presented to the BDA Livability and Land Use Committee or Land Use and Livability Subcommittee. We, I believe, are on the calendar with NAOP here in the next week or so, and we've met with some various stakeholders and will continue to do so in the next coming months as we're working on the draft land use alternatives in connection with the comprehensive plan work. And then before we're done with that, though, we will be starting the second phase, which is developing the future land use alternatives for analysis in the EIS and the policy development that will follow that. And I want to be clear, though, when we're talking about future land use alternatives specific to Wilburton, we are going to be using the preferred alternative that's presented in the Citizens Advisory Committee report as the baseline or as the starting place for the preferred alternative. And then we will have the ability to analyze some variations on that alternative, or I should say some refinements of that along with the overall comprehensive plan EIS. So we're not starting over with Wilburton. We're just picking up that preferred alternative and then looking at different ways that we could implement that to make sure it is consistent with the approach we're taking on a citywide basis. So an example of that might be with regard to affordable housing and housing need, we can look at that preferred alternative and look at ways, for example, that we might be able to increase the housing opportunity in Wilburton. That's an example of how we might look at alternatives and in the EIS process. So just want to be clear what we mean by alternatives. We're not looking to start completely over. We're picking up from that place and moving forward. And then finally, as we move forward, you'll see the third phase of the work, the LUCA phase, is denoted in the red shading area here on the timeline. And again, that work will be commencing before we are completely through with our policy development, so that we are intentionally having each of these phases inform the next. And we're not waiting till phase is complete before we pick up and start with the next. And I think that's really important to the work plan and how we can feel confident that we can get to the middle of 2024 with land use code amendments that would be ready for adoption just on the heels of the comp plan, major periodic comp plan update work. And that is why we have Nick here tonight, and his staff in DSD and our staff in CD are working together from day one on this work. We're not just waiting until a year from now to start talking to our colleagues in development services. So it's really important to acknowledge that. So with that, I just also shared here on this slide a little bit of information about how we anticipate engaging with the Planning Commission throughout this process. I know it looks like a lot, and it is a lot that's going to be happening between now and the middle of 2024. So I just wanted to kind of note, and this is in a pretty high level form, how we envision engaging with you as we move forward. So thank you, Tara. So this is this slide here is talking about our broader community engagement plan, and it also is in alignment with the three phases of the work plan, starting with at the top here. It's kind of a cascading diagram with the three phases of our work and then an overview of the engagement activities that are taking place in each phase. So in phase one that we're in now, community re-engagement, which will go roughly through September of this year, we are making a concerted effort to inform community about the Wilburton vision, making sure people are aware of the work that took place in 2017 through 2018, and then having this opportunity to re-engage with the stakeholders who were involved in that work and have been following this and or have been following this work along the way, conducting briefings, stakeholder presentations, conversations, and looking at ways to expand our reach. And one thing I'd like to note here in this phase is that we had recently pretty good engagement with community related to the East Trail Framework Plan. And I hope that you have the opportunity to participate in some of those convenings over the summer months. But that was a great opportunity to actually expand some of our stakeholder connections in a more recent time than say all the way back to 2018 when the work on the vision was taking place. So we hope to pick up and work with the folks we've met through that process to make sure they're brought along as we implement the East Trail Framework Plan as part of the Wilburton effort. And as we move into the second phase, where we'll be looking for community input on the future land use options and on the comprehensive plan policy amendments, that will take us through the third quarter of 2023 roughly. And in that point, we'll be looking for community input on the land use alternatives that are being analyzed via the EIS process. And we will be focusing on that public engagement process, the public comment process, which is officially required through the EIS. And that will be very intentionally coordinated with the comprehensive plan team to make sure that we're keeping on the same schedule and also that we're clearly able to explain or inform community about how Wilburton is part of the larger vision for the city overall. And then the third phase is a really important phase for input from community as well. And that's the input that shapes the future on the actual land use code amendments as they're being drafted. The intent here will be to inform community about how the proposed land use districts, development standards and guidelines will actually shape the future of Wilburton and to provide an opportunity to test out how the draft development standards and guidelines would apply to future development. And we have often done this with many of our initiatives to involve the stakeholder community, development community, et cetera, design professionals in helping to test out those standards and make sure that they are going to work and actually get the intended results that we're all looking for. So next slide, please, Tara. Just to talk a little more specifically about what's happening now and some of our immediate next steps with the process. As I mentioned, we are in this phase intentionally looking for times to brief different boards and commissions like yourselves. And so we're obviously here tonight. We have two additional board and commission briefings on the calendar now for later this summer, Parks and Community Services and Transportation Commission meetings in July, and we're currently reaching out to other boards and commissions and hope to add them to the calendar soon. And that, you know, and I think, as I already mentioned, we are in the process of making sure we have updated and are looking to expand our stakeholder and interested party list. So that's some place where planning commissioners can possibly help us out with helping us bring to our attention other organizations or interest groups you might be aware of that we might could possibly be missing. Hopefully not, but we're always can learn more. And then we'll be looking to, as a core team, to identify equity outcomes to be considered in our policy development so we can share that out with community as we're thinking about our policies and our land use alternatives. An example of that, what I mean by equity outcomes, is thinking about as Wilburton transforms over time, how might there, you know, is that an equitable outcome for everyone who might want to live and work in that part of the city? Are there possible displacement concerns? We don't have a lot of housing currently in the study area, but there are quite a few businesses out there, for example, that might ultimately be relocating as new development occurs. So that's just an example of what we mean by equity outcomes to be considered. And then as already has been stated, we want to make sure that we are aligning that Wilburton vision that we're starting from with our citywide goals and our growth targets as well. So those are the things we are working on in this current phase of the work. So with that, that concludes what we'd prepared to share with you this evening. And we're very interested to hear your reactions and questions to what you've heard this evening. And also look forward to additional opportunities to come back and perhaps dig in a little deeper, for example, with that actually talking about the Wilburton vision, maybe more specifically the content of that. We'd be happy to do that as well. But at that point, Tara, I'll turn it over to you and back to the chair to lead us in some discussion and questions you might have. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Emil, Nick, and Janet. Welcome, Janet, to the City of Bellevue, and thank you for presenting this to us. We can go around the room and ask questions or add input. Vice Chair Ferris, I start with you, please.
Thank you. And again, welcome, Janet. This is great. This is an exciting time. Very transformative. I have three questions, but I'll have you just ask them one at a time and make sure you go around. One is, early in the presentation, you talked about the East Main LUCA and how in that particular LUCA you provided incentives to produce affordable housing. And I know it was relatively recently adopted, so there's probably not quite enough time to see how it works, but I'm very, very keenly interested to figure out what of those incentives are actually creating in terms of those opportunities. Because I think there's been a lot of times where incentives have been put out there, but because there's been a whole range of incentives on for public goods, affordable housing tends to be kind of like the last one that gets taken up. So again, I guess I would ask if there is any data on what incentives actually work to produce affordable housing.
The East Main code was just adopted late last year. That was a major milestone to get the code adopted. There has been I'm going to call it an early submittal for East Main. What we can do is look through what's been submitted and I think reporting back at a future commission meeting about, is there enough detail right now to fully understand what incentives they are going after? They were proposing a rather large mixed use development on the area that did include retail, office, and housing components. So I think I'm going to propose coming back with a bit more information on that early submittal.
That would be great. And if it informs us, if there's other areas of the city where there are incentives, again, I'd love to find out, you know, where is it working and where is it not working.
Watcher, please ask your second question as well in this round.
I'll keep on rolling. So this is about community engagement, because there's a goals that are in the planning that you put forth where you want to be inclusive. It has to be sustainable. You obviously talk about affordable housing and equitable outcomes. And when you talk about the stakeholders, the list is not finalized by any stretch, but I've heard, NAIOP and the Downtown Association, I'm sure the Chamber, and those are all very business oriented, which they're critically important. But when I think about, again, whether it's affordable housing or being inclusive, I think there should be a really strong effort to reach out to those other than the business community. Maybe we can find potential residents that want to live there. Maybe it's affordable housing providers that might want to be able to work there. But make a real concerted effort to find those that maybe you don't think of typically on a stakeholder list. And again, with that equity lens on. So that was one suggestion. And then lastly, this is a super simple one, and it's probably just me. You talked about the East Rail Framework Plan. Is that something that we can look on the website and take a look at? Because I'm not sure that I've seen that.
The East Rail Framework Plan is something that's under development right now. It's an effort being led by King County Parks, and the city and Sound Transit and East Rail Partners are participating in that effort. So it's probably a few months away from having the proposed framework plan up in a place that we can send out a link and people can review it. So it's still a work in progress. If you would like more information on East Rail, there is information on both the city's website and the King County Park site about East Rail in general, just not to the level of detail of the Wolverton section.
Thank you. That's helpful. Appreciate it. That's all I have.
Thank you. Commissioner Gopal.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's a really exciting and ambitious plan. And I was really excited to hear, Emil, Nick, and Janet describe it and all of the project planning that you're doing in order to try and bring this, online so quickly. So appreciate all the good work that's being done. I wanted to ask a couple of questions just about the numbers of housing units that you're targeting for the Wolverton area. Can you give us any more detail on the number of housing units, of additional housing units you are hoping to, locate in the Wolverton area, and also the numbers of affordable housing units you're planning on locating there, through the 2044 period. I'm just trying to get a sense, as part of the comp plan refresh, the proportion of, the 35,000 units that we're supposed to be finding, which will be located in the Wolverton area.
Yeah, I can go ahead and give an overview of that. When we look back at the 2018 CAC vision and its preferred alternative, they gave numbers for residential and square feet, but we, converted them to housing units. It appears about 5,000 to 6,000 housing units is what they had in their preferred alternative by the year 2035. And, it appears it was maybe about 20,000 jobs or so, depending on the multiplier of how many square feet per employee. I think it's important to note that things have changed since 2018. So I think we probably said it four or five times even during this presentation, we need to look for more housing opportunities in Wolverton. Mm-hmm. So that is the starting point, and we think we need to go significantly above that 5,000 to 6,000 number in Wolverton. So that'll be part of the task of the commission and staff and the public to weigh in on.
Great. And I think just, as a kind of follow on to Vice Chair Ferris's good question, I think the idea of getting more metrics on incentives and how they're actually operating is key, because I want to make sure that the vision that you're describing ends up becoming a reality, and is that kind of vibrant, sustainable and equitable. think about, you know, past plans that other cities like Seattle have come up with for South Lake Union that were supposed to include a lot more housing, but never did. And I just would really like to see how we can help make sure that, that vision gets realized. So whatever we can do to help, you know, help think about ways to make that happen, I think that would be time well spent.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Brown.
Thank you. I think like Carolyn, I have this laundry list of things I want to talk about, but I really appreciate your presentation. I found it very exciting to think about revamping and really looking at the future for this vibrant community, and especially given the opportunity to develop in a transit-oriented way along a light rail station, along a walkable bike and walking area with a Grand Connection. Like, I really kind of start to feel like this is where it's all coming together. So it's really exciting to sort of start this this new process. I had a quick question about the EIS study. I didn't see them mention climate change anywhere. Are we really looking at our city, our CO2 emissions? Are we really looking at a city that is dealing with a climate change issue, or has that not been a part of our planning up to now?
Janet, you want to go ahead and cover the EIS scope and how we're looking at climate and resiliency, please?
Yes, certainly. So as we mentioned, we're looking at Wilburton as part of the overall comprehensive plan update process. And there is also an element in the original 2018 draft environmental impact statement for Wilburton that did look at things like air quality and water quality, et cetera. So those will be elements of the EIS process. In addition, we know from the CAC vision that there are principles and strong recommendations and principles that were developed there that speak of Wilburton being sustainable and having a lot of green stormwater infrastructure in place, for example. So environmental sustainability is definitely referenced and is something we will be looking at in the EIS process on both a citywide level, but more specifically for Wilburton. And Wilburton does provide, we think, a great opportunity as well as for housing to demonstrate some more sustainable building practices, because it is an area that ultimately could redevelop fairly significantly over the long term.
And moving away from the single family to more group housing, bigger housing units to house more people in a smaller amount of land. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I was looking at the vision, and that's really the plan for this particular community as well as in downtown, correct?
That is correct. The vision for Wilburton is very much mixed use, urban density, but with amenities and with open space access and other things. There's a couple other pieces that our staff are looking at, not specific to Wilburton, in some ways specific to Wilburton. And that one of those is an air quality assessment. And I think we all can recognize that Wilburton is right up against 405. So there could very well be some recommendations in our policy work that might look to, for example, not maybe encourage residential development right up against the 405, but perhaps a little further away as an example. And in addition, it has come to our knowledge fairly recently that there's, you know, King County has a program for district energy heat recovery pilots. And we've heard from some private developers in the area that are pretty interested in looking at that. That's all very much just potential opportunity, not at this point anything that we can say with certainty is going to happen. But there is, for example, a very large county sewer line that runs adjacent to 405, and there's an opportunity there possibly to do some heat recovery projects if you could look at it on a larger scale, you know, larger site scale. So there are opportunities we're aware of, and we're super excited to talk to private entities, public-private partnership. But again, at this point, it's a little too early to say if that's going to come to be, but we're aware of it, and it's pretty exciting to think about things like that happening in Wilburton.
Totally great. And also welcome. Really excited to, you know, first presentation, really excited to continue to work with you, Janet. And what a really cool project to get to join us to do. So I really appreciate it. The other thing that I think has drastically changed since this vision was implemented, 2018 seems like the before times when we could breathe each other's air and we all went into work and then went home again. Some things have changed about that might make office space less valuable and housing even more so. You said a statistic like 2-to-1 jobs to housing, and I'm like, wait, we keep doing that. It's going to make affordable housing worse. It's going to make all our commutes worse. People are going to have to live farther and farther and farther away. So that one statistic just really stuck with me. Given that much has changed in the last 2 years of a pandemic, have we noticed a particular impact on the need for office space in our city?
From an overall standpoint, we are definitely monitoring the peak of the interest for office space that seemed to occur in the past 2 to 3 years, you know, between 2018 and now, and what it's meaning for projects continuing on, and then importantly, how those buildings are actually occupied. You know, number of days, number of people per 1,000 square feet is a key metric. So that's one where we definitely are in the monitoring phase to see how things are coming along. There still are a lot of office developments happening, at least in the downtown core and the Spring District area. So we'll have more information as we continue to, you know, come out of the pandemic and get back to whatever a new normal is.
Do we know what the occupancy rate is now for office space?
Well, in existing buildings, our economic development group is monitoring the current occupancy rate. It's a bit of a moving statistic because each company is having different return to so-called workplace plans. So we are monitoring it. It's hard to give a exact number for what it is this week or this month, but it's something where the buildings are beginning to be more occupied than they were just a number of months ago.
Right. And imagine even companies are still trying to figure out how much space they're going to need in the future, how many employees are going to continue to work remotely versus in person. So I just want to, you know, have us have that kind of flexibility too, as we learn more about recovering from this pandemic, what's ultimately going to be needed. But I think we need to kind of flip that 2-to-1 jobs to housing rate on its head and have twice as much housing right about now. That's just me. And again, we keep talking about affordable housing. What are we talking about? What AMI are we talking about that could essentially afford to live in Wilburton? 20% AMI, 30, 50, 80. You know, are we talking like poor people like making only $150,000 a year, or, you know, people who work as, you know, plumbers and teachers can afford to live here?
Yeah, I think as we look through the CAC report, there's definitely a nod to getting affordable housing in the Wilburton area. It did not give specific, numeric goals. So that is part of the work of the commission and staff to think about the amount of affordable housing, the amount of housing overall, and what income levels we do want to be targeting. And it's probably a combination of market development, including affordable housing, and then if there's opportunities for nonprofit development within the area as well. The Dash property that was in front of the commission just in the past year and a half or so is right on the edge of the Wilburton area, just as an example of a nonprofit development being in that general area as an example there.
Okay. That's all I've got. Well, thanks.
Thank you, Commissioner Brown. Commissioner Bargalo.
Okay, thank you. First of all, Janet, welcome. A really wonderful presentation to you and to Nick and Emil as well, but especially to you since it's your first. I also found the structure, the way you presented the information, really easy to digest and the timeline and that coding simplified complex information really easily. So great job there. Couple things I just wanted to call out. One, you know, I do resonate with much of what has been said before, especially Commissioner Brown's call outs on, you know, inventive, sustainable solutions, as well as, you know, pressure testing our assumptions around what is affordable and what is not and all of that. So sort of in line with that, my larger question was around this approach that seems to be the default in your presentation about taking the baseline plan, or you called it the preferred plan that was initially developed, as the baseline for how we're going to think about land use alternatives. And I am unsure, or at least I'd like to pressure test that thinking, that that is the right thing to do. Might be the expedient and probably the easiest thing to do, but is that plan fundamentally responsive to what we're trying to achieve, as well as the changes we've seen since 2018 when we talk about the targets that we have for growth, for example, and jobs versus housing, the mix that we expect, like Commissioner Brown called out, from the impacts of the pandemic or anything else, the light rail and the transportation systems that we might have or may not have anticipated in terms of modal split. So that's sort of one question I wanted to make sure that we have strong conviction that we're making that decision correctly. I have a couple of other follow-up, more sort of tactical and maybe even exploratory questions, but that's really what I wanted to better assess.
Yeah, I can go ahead and answer that one. I think our approach is going to be to come back to the commission. It's going to likely be in the June timeframe to review the elements of the CAC preferred alternative. The direction from the council was to use that as the so-called baseline, with the direction to actually look at a number of different lenses for different alternatives or modifications to it. So I think the staff opinion is it is a good starting point to begin with, and with the ability to modify it as needed and analyze it in the EIS, it does give quite a bit of flexibility to offer up new ideas. So I know there's still the commission needing to see what the details of the preferred alternative are, but I think in June, let's reserve judgment until we can actually brief you on the preferred alternative before we discard it. And we'll also be able to follow the council direction by sticking with it for the time being.
Yep, got it, Emil. Thank you. I appreciate the council's direction, but I also sort of value your point of view that is a viable and reasonable starting point. But I want us to be open to the idea that we're here to make the best decisions that are optimal for future growth and development and the expectations for change, and shouldn't be, I don't know if married is the right word anymore, but we shouldn't be locked with our underlying assumptions we made, you know, a couple of years ago or however. If I can just quickly follow up with some sort of exploratory questions, I'll call them. I love the idea of this heat recovery and creative sustainable solutions. I've also been looking, and maybe not so recently even, the idea of trip neutral development, so vehicle trip neutral development, with the idea where we're able to, the impact in a transportation EIS of additional personal automobile trip generation is sort of mitigated by pedestrian trip generation at a higher rate, as well as, you know, transit trips, etc. How aggressively are we expecting the, you know, transportation impacts to be mitigated through creative land use solutions, especially given the proximity to transit that we have in this area?
I can start out, and then we can get some thoughts from Nick and Janet as well. I view this as the key planning laboratory to test that idea that you're talking about. The area is walkable to 4 light rail stations, bus rapid transit on Northeast State Street, and it's going to have the East Rail that is going to be able to connect into downtown via the Grand Connection and north-south in a very user-friendly manner. So of all the areas in the city that we've planned so far, this one does have the ability to be a place where people could live without a car and rely on other ways to get around. So part of the land use planning and thinking about the policies and regulations, this is where we can really push some of those ideas that you're suggesting. And I know Nick and Janet have been thinking about this as well, so please feel free to chime in if needed.
Sure. Thanks, Emil. I think I'll just mention that our core team of staff who are working on this effort includes transportation staff as well, and they're very much integrated in the work and the thinking about how we're going to proceed with proposed alternatives to analyze in the EIS. So that's really intentional, and we recognize transportation and multimodalism as being very, very important to the future of Wilburton. And one element of the CAC report that we'll also be considering, recommendation, I should say, of the CAC report is this increasing connectivity. So in addition to the fact that we know we have these great light rail stations, we have the East Rail coming, the future Grand Connection, we have this recognition that we have a lot of pretty major blocks still within Wilburton, just as we do in other places of Bellevue. So there's recommendations to look for ways to get better connectivity for people on 2 wheels and 2 feet to move east and west in particular through the district. So that's something we'll be considering, especially as we get into the LUCA phase, is how we might incentivize or even possibly require some additional blocks or alleys or, you know, ped paths, et cetera, to even make it even more feasible to live without a car, to get around. And that you just, it'd be the easy choice essentially to do that. That's just some extra thoughts I have on that one.
And I don't have anything to add. You guys have covered that really well. And I'm very excited to have these conversations with the Planning Commission and talk about these ideas and really see how some of the policy language can respond to a lot of the great amenities that surround this neighborhood and that make it that really exciting place that it's poised to become.
Yeah, thank you, Emil, Jan, Nick. And then this is truly, you know, as an urban designer and architect, as I started my career, this is one of those projects that feels exactly why, you know, I wanted to be part of the commission. And so looking forward to that, and would be actually quite disappointed if we end up with sort of the traditional approach that we take in EIS is that we are expecting to have a transportation impact. We just want to quantify how much, but challenge that notion to say how we can neutralize the impact, and especially given the parameters of the area we're working with.
Commissioner Bargello, do you have any more questions, or should we go to Commissioner Morrison?
I'm good, thank you.
Commissioner Morrison.
Thanks, Chair. Thank you, staff. Great content, great presentation. I've been on the commission long enough to know when we started this work, so I'm actually really excited to see it coming together. One other thing that I want to, I don't really have questions per se, but again, based on my experience with the downtown livability and similar projects that we've worked on, I want to highlight to staff as we're going through this process, let's look at the lesson learned as to why we did not meet our housing goals for 2035. And based on that, how do we improve so we can be bold, as the commentator said during the public comment, in really addressing the housing needs that we're trying to address here. And the second thing that I would add is, as we're going through this process, we learned that again through the downtown code, let's be flexible. I think the Wilburton area is offering us a great opportunity to do something really special here. So let's not be restrictive to act in a way that it might actually prevent us from doing what we're trying to accomplish. I think one of the things that Commissioner Vice Chair Ferris commented on that resonated with me is the incentive process that we've used in the past, and quite often most of them don't end up being used. So let's look at that again as we're going through the process here for the Wilmington to ensure that we use something that actually works, not just for the developers who are trying to do this, but more importantly for our community who really need us to provide them what they need, whether it's housing, jobs, you know, where they work and live, they get the most that they need in that specific area. So as I said, I'm really excited to see what staff is going to bring to the commission moving forward. I'm sure I'll have more questions once we go through the either further into the draft EIS or the LUCA process. So I'm really excited and I look forward to this work that we're going to do together. And I want to say welcome to you, Janet. Thank you.
Commissioner Russo, I'm going back around. Do you have any second round? I'm going to start with you and go back. Perfect. Commissioner Borgava, any second round? Commissioner Brown? Commissioner Gopal?
No.
And Vice Chair Ferris? Great. Janet, welcome again. Thank you so much. Emil and Nick, always a pleasure to meet you guys. Thank you so much for a great presentation. As everyone said, we are all looking forward to this. It's going to be great.
I'll just say I want to thank all the planning commissioners this evening. You've all been really welcoming to me, and it is exciting to be here and a pleasure to meet you all this evening. And thank you for that warm welcome. Really appreciate that.
So next item on the agenda is other business. Do we have anything there? I don't know why Commissioner Morisco is laughing, but no, okay. We can go to approval of minutes. Can I get a motion to approve the meeting minutes of April 27, 2022?
I move that we approve the April minutes.
Second.
It is moved by Commissioner Brown and second by Commissioner Gopal to approve the meeting minutes of April 27, 2022. Is there any discussion? All approved, say yes.
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 Great. All opposed, say no. Any abstain? Perfect. Our minutes of April 27th has been approved. So I think we can go to continued oral communication. We have another 15 minutes. The speaker will be allowed up to 3 minutes to speak on topics that they want. Tara will call on the speakers in order if they raise their hand on the raise hand function in Zoom. So Tara, do we have anyone here that actually is not the staff?
We don't have anyone that's not staff.
Yeah, great. So I think, is there anything else, Tara, or can we just adjourn the, anyone has any question for Tara? You have a chance right now to ask her one more question or two. It's 7:49. Okay. There is none. So can I get a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I would like to move to adjourn the meeting for tonight.
I'll second that motion.
It is moved by Vice Chair Faye and second by Commissioner Brown to adjourn the meeting. Is there any discussion? I hope not. All approved say yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All opposed say no. Then our meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your night and see you all next meeting.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Thank you.